All right, so where we left, actually, I'm not going to start from the beginning. So we are going to tackle the marginal logistic regression model and generalized estimating equation. And where we left last time was to discuss very extensively and compare the parameter interpretation under the linear regression model when you have a marginal model, a model with random effect, and a transition model. And what we said is for continuous outcomes, the parameter interpretation, the interpretation of the regression coefficient, it's consistent for if you have a marginal model, if you have a random effect model, and if you have a transition model. What does it mean is that your interpretation of regression coefficient and the random effect has also has a marginal interpretation when you integrate out, you have a result with respect to the distribution of the random effect. Now, when you move to binary data, and the same thing would be for count data, the same is not true. What I mean by that is that when you specify a logistic regression model with a random effect, your odds ratio, your log odds, has a different interpretation than a marginal logistic regression model, even if you average out with respect to the random effect distribution. So I'm actually going to do this one more time because I think this is one of the most important messages that you get out of this class, and then which I really hope it will be useful for you in the future. So when you have a logistic regression, if you think as an Indonesian children health study, we can start with a marginal logistic regression. So by marginal logistic regression, I also mean a population average model, and where you specify the logistic probability of respiratory infection as a linear function of the covariates, and Xij is being vitamin A deficient, yes or not. And what we show is that E of beta 1 is the odds of infection among the vitamin A deficient children divided by the odds of infection among children that are replete with vitamin A. So that's the definition of the odds ratio. And basically what we do, we compare population average odds. We compare the frequency. Basically here what we do, we compare the frequency of respiratory infection among the subpopulation of children that are vitamin A deficiency divided by the frequency of respiratory infection, so the frequency of not having respiratory infection among the subpopulation of children that were vitamin A deficient. So we compare the relative frequency of an event across the subpopulation. We never talk about an individual level, the individual child. Now, because the data are correlated, when we do GEE, so when we feed a marginal logistic regression model by doing a GEE, basically what we do, we specify a correlation structure. We specify covariance matrix, and our command XTGE will provide the estimates, the GEE estimates of beta 0 and beta 1, accounting for the correlation. And what we're going to do during this lecture today, I'm going to give you a little bit more information, a little bit more detail on what is GEE. Okay? Then, what we estimate. We have this population average probability of infection, and the population average odds of infection is a multiplied by X by E of beta 1 for the subpopulation of children that is vitamin A deficient. So basically, this is the same equation that you have on top, just differently. So you have that the odds, basically the odds of the odds of respiratory infection in the subpopulation of children that is vitamin A deficient is equal to E of beta 1 for the odds of infection for the population of children that is not vitamin A deficient. Now, if you do a logistic regression with a random effect, then what you do, you specify, and actually let me be a little bit more precise here, because you specify the logistic probability of Yij given U con I. So this is a conditional probability. So I think that we should specify in this way, because we specify the probability of Yij conditional to a random effect U con I. And so we have this beta 0 star plus U con I beta 1 star Xij and you can I as a normal distribution with the variance of B square. And now the interpretation is different because E of beta 1 star, which is the odds ratio, is the odds of infection for a child with random effects in Yukon I when he or she is a vitamin A deficient relative to when the same child is not. So you see, this is a very different definition. And if you integrate out, if you take these odds ratio and you integrate out the distribution of the random effect, you are not going to get back your beta 1. Okay? They have just two different things. And so basically what we allow, we say that each child has his own propensity, his or her baseline probability of respiratory infection. And so basically now when you have a random effect, a logistic model with random effect, basically you have a child with random effect UConI and has these odds of respiratory infection when it's not vitamin A deficient become the odds of a respiratory infection when the same child has a respiratory infection, but multiplying these odds by E of beta 1 star. So the bottom line is that E of beta 1 star updates individual level odds, which are characterized by UConI, when E of beta 1 updates population average odds. Okay? So that is the most important thing to keep. Differently, again, we also look at the transitional logistic regression model, where now you model the logit, the probability of Y, J given 1, and now you have, but now you also adjust for this covariate YIJ minus 1. So the parameter alpha, it's basically the regression coefficient, is the log odds for the probability of respiratory infection, given what is the value of having respiratory infection at the previous visit. And so now this is of another interpretation, which is the odds of infection for a child with outcome of the previous visit YIJ minus 1 when is or she vitamin A deficient relative when the same child is not. So you, of course, you will never going to remember all these definitions unless you're going to look at the notes, but this is how I derive this quantity. So you start from this regression model, and then that's how you define E of beta 1 star. You can see that you take the odds of respiratory infection for a child with outcome YIJ minus 1 being vitamin A deficient divided by the odds of respiratory infection for the same child with the same outcome YIJ minus 1 being not vitamin A deficient. And so basically, the idea is that each child has his own baseline probability of respiratory infection, which is this one, which is what happens when you take XIJ equals 0. And then basically you have that the child odds of infection is multiplied by this E of beta 1 star when he or she becomes vitamin A deficient. Okay? And so you see, one way of interpreting all these parameters, make sure that you always got it right, is that you start from this form, right? And you have two binary covariates. Right? You have the having a respiratory infection of the previous visit, yes or no, and having been vitamin A deficient the previous visit, yes or no. So the easiest way to interpret all these parameters is to specify all the probability for every possible combination of your covariates. And that's what I did at the bottom. You see, what I did at the bottom, I said, well, what is the probability of a respiratory infection with respect to all the possible combinations? It's not vitamin A deficient and didn't have a respiratory infection the previous visit, was not vitamin A deficient and has a respiratory. So I just basically wrote all the probability, right, with respect to any possible combination of the covariates. And then you basically interpret the different parameter by taking the odds that you are interested to. Okay? So if you take this quantity divided by this quantity, that gives you the odds of respiratory infection. I'm sorry, no, because then the odds will be, the odds will be probably the YIJ equal 1 divided by probability YIJ equal 0. So then you will take 1 minus, and that's how you get all the parameter interpretation. So I would say as a rule of thumb, every time you have a logistic regression, but actually every time you have a statistical model, just write down the probability by specifying a different combination of the covariates, and so then it's easier to interpret, your parameter. So one thing I haven't told you yet is how we estimate these models. Okay? So what we did for all the first part of the class, so we looked at weighted least square, maximum likelihood estimation, robust estimation where you have continuous outcome. But now we haven't talked yet on how you estimate this model for logistic regression. Now you've been using Eugene EE already for several weeks, but sure many of you know exactly what is GEE and why you use it. So that's what I'm gonna do. Now what we do, we use a generalized estimating equation to fit this first class of the model. So generalized estimating equation is used to fit Poisson to fit logistic regression and Poisson regression when you have longitudinal data. So you use a generalized estimating equation to estimate a marginal or a population average logistic regression model when your objective is also to account for the correlation within a subject. Okay? Now, before going to the GEE, I need to quickly remind you how you estimate a parameter for a standard logistic regression model, or how you estimate a parameter when you have a generalized linear model. And then we will move into GEE. The same way when we did the linear regression, I first remind you what was ordinally square, and then I told you what was weightedly square. Now I'm going to remind you how you do maximal likelihood estimation in a generalized linear model, which includes logistic regression and Poisson regression, at least to give you an idea, and then I will introduce generalized estimating equation. So generalized estimating equation is a way of, basically, it's a more complex way of estimating parameters in generalized linear models where you want to account for the within-subject correlation, okay? So, if we, for a moment, forget about having longitudinal data, let's assume that we're just dealing with a generalized linear model with a standard Poisson regression or a standard logistic regression, how you estimate your parameter. And that's actually the material that you're probably, I don't know if you already see or you're gonna be seeing very soon with the 650 series. So if yi, which is our outcome variable, for a particular subject, so we don't have any repeated measurement for now, is a binary of count, we estimate our parameter of interest by doing maximal likelihood estimation. It's actually the same thing. Basically, we specify a sampling distribution, we specify a likelihood function, and we estimate the regression coefficient by maximizing the likelihood function or the log likelihood. So the nice thing about the maximal likelihood estimation is that the thinking is always the same. After you have a married the likelihood function, you have to specify a sampling distribution. So what we said, well, in this case, it's pretty easy. When yi is binary, we say the yi have a Bernoulli distribution with the probability mu I. And so if you write the logistic regression model in this way, basically you have the mu I will be equal to the inverse logit transformation of these guys. And so you can write out the likelihood function of beta 0 and beta 1, which is proportional to the product across all the subjects of the sampling distribution. So this is the Bernoulli distribution for a particular subject, and then we take the product across all the subjects. You see that these actually depends on beta 0 and beta 1 through this link function. Okay? So you can basically replace mu con I by E of beta 0 plus beta 1 x con I divided 1 plus E, right? And so what we do, well, maximal likelihood estimation, we estimate beta 0 and beta 1 by maximizing the likelihood function. Similar thing for Poisson. If yi is a count, we assume that yi has a Poisson distribution. in this case, the link we'll see soon, it's the log and not the logit. And so basically, this is the kernel of a Poisson distribution that will be the Laplace function that we estimate beta 0, beta 1 by maximizing that likelihood function. Now, to be a little bit more general, so this is how we do maximal likelihood estimation of a vector of regression coefficient in generalized linear model when you have the cross-sectional data. We define the likelihood function, which is a function of beta and the data, y, which is our outcome, as a product from all the subjects, we generally have m subjects, of fyi beta. By fyi beta, I basically simply denote the sampling distribution. Okay? So before, so you can have that fyi beta is a proportional to, if you have a mu con I, y con I, 1 minus mu con I, 1 minus y con I, or f y I beta is proportional to e of mu con I for mu con I, y con I. That's when y I is binary, and that's where y I is a count, okay? So this is called the sampling distribution. And by the way, that's true, also, if you have, remember, generalized linear model also include the linear regression model. So you could have the fyi beta is proportional to, you have 1 divided 2 pi sigma square, exponential minus 1 to sigma square, yi minus xi beta square, when yi is continuous, which is what we have done previously, right? So fyi beta in general, basically, I use it to denote the sampling distribution. So, and if you remember when we did, in order to maximize the likelihood function, what we do, maximize the likelihood function is equivalent to maximizing the log likelihood, because it's a log transformation. And when we want to maximize the function, what we do, we take the first derivative of the likelihood function and solve the equation that the first derivative is equal to 0. Okay? Well, there are 3 steps. Let me just rewrite it here for a second. So number 1, we define the likelihood function. Okay? So how you define the likelihood function? You take the product among all the subjects of the sampling distribution as a function of the unknown parameters. And that was the first equation I have. L of beta is equal to the product over I of fy at beta. Okay? So the goal, so you have the definition of your likelihood function, L of beta and y, and the goal is to maximize this function with respect to beta. Okay? Well, often it's much easier to, instead of maximizing the likelihood function, it's much easier to maximize the log likelihood. It's just numerically easy. Why? Because, you see, the likelihood function is always defined as a product for I 1 to m over the sampling distribution, right? And here you can have the normal density, the Poisson density, or the Bernoulli density, okay? But instead of maximizing the likelihood function, we like to maximize the log likelihood. Why? Because if you take the log likelihood, if you take log of L of beta and y, that instead of maximizing a product, we just need to maximize the sum of log of f y I of beta. Okay? In fact, if you replace here the Bernoulli distribution, like I have it here, you see, if you take the log of this quantity, it's much easier because it becomes yi log of mu I plus 1 minus yi. Actually, let's write it down. If y is binary, this will be equal to summation equal 1 to m of log of the sampling distribution where you have a binary data, which would be mu I, y con I, 1 minus mu I, 1 minus mu con I. Okay? And that, it's much easier because it's going to be equal to summation equal 1 to m of yi log of mu con I plus 1 minus yi log of 1 minus mu con I. Okay? So, maximizing a product, it's much harder, it's much easier to maximize this function here, because then becomes to maximize this one, right? So because of the logarithm is a monotone transformation, you know, any time when you have to maximize something, if you take a monotone transformation of that quantity, you still have the same maximum. Okay? So how you maximize a function? Well, in mathematics, every time you want to maximize something, what you do, you have to say that you have to solve the equation that the derivative of the log of L of beta of y with respect to beta is zero. Okay? So if you solve this equation as a function of beta, you will get the maximal lateral distance. Okay? That's true all the time. In mathematics, any function you have, if you want to maximize the respect to something, you take the first derivative respect to that parameter, and you solve the equation that the first derivative is equal to zero. By solving that equation, you find the maximal lateral. Okay? The reason why I'm telling you that, because, and that is the u of beta. You see that my second equation, u of beta is equal to the derivative of the log likelihood with respect to beta. And what is next is basically the expression of that derivative for any GLM, okay? It means for any link function that you might have. Okay? So to find the maximal likelihood estimation, to find the maximal likelihood estimate in generalized linear model, you have to solve this score equation. You have to solve the equation that u of beta is equal to zero. So the third and the fourth equation has said that in order to find the beta hat such that beta hat is the maximal likelihood estimate, which is the maximum value of the likelihood function, is equivalent of solving this score equation. Okay? The score equation is the derivative of the log likelihood equal to zero. Okay? There's nothing more. Okay, so we have, if our data are binary or count or continuous, we start by specifying a sampling distribution, which is fy of beta. From the sampling distribution, we can write the likelihood function, which is the product for all the subjects of the sampling distribution, only as a function of beta. To find the maximum likelihood estimate, we need to maximize the likelihood function. It's numerically easier to maximize the log likelihood. To maximize the log likelihood, we have to calculate the score equation, which is basically taking the first derivative of the log likelihood with respect to beta n equal to zero. Why I'm telling you all of that? Because the generalized estimating equation is a way of taking that score equation that starts by calculating maximal likelihood estimation in GLM and generalize it to account for correlated data. Okay? So I'm getting to there. So for now, please stay with me with respect to the definition of the score equation. The score equation is taking the derivative of the log likelihood with respect to beta equal to zero. And we do that for finding the maximum likelihood estimate. The score equation that you have there, in the general term, has these following guys here. As the VI, okay, VI is a function of the mean, so VI is the variance, and the mu con I is the mean. And remember that for binary count data, the variance and the mean are linked to each other. Actually, for Poisson data, the variance is equal to the mean. And for binary data, the variance is a function of the mean. So the score equation there is mu I of beta. So mu I co beta is basically the link function. Okay? So mu I co beta is the expected value of y con I, which for binary data is the probability of y I equal 1, which is equal to beta 0 plus, which is the inverse logit, which is E of beta 0 plus beta 1 xi, 1 plus E of beta 0 plus beta 1 xi. For count data, mu con I of beta is equal to the expected value of y con I, which is equal to E of beta 0 plus beta 1 x con I. Okay? The variance, mu con I, is going to be equal to mu con I 1 minus mu con I when V is binary, and the mu con I is equal to mu con I when yi is a count. Right? So, you see, in this score equation, which is the recipe, by solving the equation that u con beta is equal to 0, we find the maximum likelihood estimate. There are three things coming in: the data, the link function, mu con I con beta, which will be this quantity or this quantity, depends if you have a count data or binary data, and the variance, V con I. Okay? So the data, the mean, and the variance. We solve the equation, we found maximum likelihood estimation. And that's what's happening every time you fit a logistic regression or a postal regression with your state problem. Okay? I'm not even talking about longitudinal data yet. This is just standard maximum likelihood estimation for generalized linear model. So you, good night. Okay. Now you convey, so solve this equation and you find the maximum likelihood estimate. Well, unfortunately, solving this equation is not always so trivial. You cannot always solve it in closed form. So you have basically, there are some algorithms which are iterative, we call the iterative weighted least square, is a numerical algorithm that allow you to solve this score equation. Okay? So to solve this score equation, what it means? It basically means that you want to have this stuff equal 0. Right? So again, it's the same. So basically, the idea is that so you have specified the mean and the variance. The mean and the variance are totally specified by your sampling distribution. Okay? Because if yi is binary, the mean function will have the logit link and the variance will be linked to the mean, as I wrote it here. If yi is a Poisson, the link function is the log, and the mean and the variance are the same. And then to find the maximum likelihood estimate, you want to find the beta hat that make ui of beta close to yi on average. Basically, you want to have this quantity. Remember, you want to solve that this is equal to 0. So you want to have that yi are closest to mu con I and beta as much as possible, but they are weighted by the variance. So you see, it actually, to just try to, similar idea of weighted least square, if you think about it. Okay? It's just a little bit more complicated because you have the mean and the variance that play together. Okay? So I'm sure that, you know, Dr. Ziegler will be able to explain you this in a much more clear way. But this is the different steps for doing maximum likelihood estimation in generalized linear model. Sampling distribution, likelihood function, find the log likelihood, define the score equation, and solve the score equation, and then you will get the maximum likelihood estimate. In the score equation, there are the mean function and the variance function. Okay? Is it there are different steps in the intuition? Or are you lost in any of these steps? Please don't be shy and okay? Yes, please. Please. No, that's fine. I mean, that's why it's a little, beta with I. I mean, I'm sorry. Beta sub I. Because what did I say instead? Beta con I. Okay. So this is Italian, of course. That's why you should. Yes. So So I think it's probably what I said the last 6 weeks, and you're asking me now. That's wonderful. Yes, because with, yeah, and apologize, that's why, please, you know, with is con in Italian, but you know, you guys, you do get the LD in Italian together. I mean, yeah, I mean, veda sabai. Yeah, veda con I means veda sabai. Yes. Oh, God. Yeah. Well, one, you know, a
few years ago was one of these marathon classes, and there was something very weird happened to me. I was teaching, and then suddenly, just exactly doing that, something like that. So I said the beta conan, and then my brain switched, and I started teaching in Italian. And I spoke in Italian for a few minutes, and people were looking at me like, you know, and then I feel the license. So, yeah. So there are people that say, please raise your hand, because for me, so yeah, so it's you survive. Yeah. Okay. Well, except for probably having confused you for the last 5 weeks with anything else. I'm so good that you have the best life of me.
Okay, so, so these are all the different steps to find maximal likelihood estimation in generalized linear model. Okay, so now I'm going to move to GEE. Okay, so now let's assume that we would like to do the same thing, but then we don't have cross-sectional data anymore, but we have longitudinal data. So now we switch again where each subject doesn't have only one measurement, but each subject has a vector of measurement. So we have to think about doing the same type of steps, but we have to account for the within-subject correlation. And so when we had continuous data, what we did, we start, if you go back to your lecture, we start by defining the likelihood function for y con I, which was normal. And then when we move to longitudinal data, I moved from a univariate to normal distribution, and I gave you the multivariate normal distribution. And that's where you start struggling with metrics algebra. But conceptually, you have, as you have a sampling distribution for yi, which was univariate to normal, when we move it to a vector of measurement, we have the multivariate to normal distribution. And so we could still specify a likelihood function, which was coming from the sampling distribution of multivariate normal and the maximum likelihood estimation. Now, here it's going to be harder because the multivariate extension of a Bernoulli distribution or a Poisson distribution are actually very complicated. If they do exist, and you could do, you can specify the sampling distribution, but, you know, it's very, very tedious. And so generalized estimating equation was a way of doing estimation for binary and binary and count longitudinal data without the need to specify a likelihood function. Okay? So this is what this slide said. So in the case of a linear regression model with assumption of normality, the extension from ordinal linear regression to longitudinal problem was facilitated by thinking about multivariate normal distribution. That's what we have done, right? So by specifying a model for the mean, E of Y sub I, and the model for the covariance matrix, V sub I, we can fully specify the multivariate normal distribution. Okay? In fact, if you go back, we said in the case where V sub I was uniform or exponential, we will maximize the logical function, and we were done. Unfortunately, if the elements of Y sub I account for binary response, we cannot naturally extend the Bernoulli and the Poisson distribution to take into account the correlation. So the multivariate extension of this exists, and, you know, biostat students work on that for their thesis and master thesis, but it's, you know, they're thesis, and please feel free and, you know, look at the couple of pages that you have in the book. So the main impediment with the binary account data when you have longitudinal data is that there are no multivariate generalization of the necessary probability distribution. And also, remember that we have this problem that the mean and the variance are linked to each other. So population average and subject-specific approach do not lead to the same model for the mean response. So it's basically, we have to circumvent the problem in a different way. Okay? So generalized estimating equation is a way of taking the score equation and generalize it to the case of the longitudinal data. So instead of starting likelihood function, log likelihood function, and the score equation, what Ziegler and Liang did is that forget about specifying a likelihood function. Let's focus on the score equation, and let's tweak the score equation so then we can account for longitudinal data. And that's what is really the fundamental idea of a generalized estimating equation. So the idea is, under a GEE approach, we forget about trying to specify a model for the whole multivariate distribution of a data vector. Instead, the idea is to just model the mean response and the covariance matrix of a data vector as in the normal case. So forget about thinking about likelihood function, okay? We just specify the model for the mean and the model for the covariance matrix exactly as we did for the linear regression case, but we will estimate the parameter not doing maximal likelihood estimation anymore, but doing generalized estimating equation. And that is the function of the generalized estimating equation. So in absence of a convenient likelihood to work with, it is sensible to estimate beta by solving the following multivariate equation. Okay. So I want to just compare, show you what, so let's see what this is, okay? So now this is a multivariate, right? So this is a vector. So yi is our usual vector ni times 1. So if this is a binary, this will be 1, 0, 1, 1, 0, 1, which will be respiratory infection, yes or no, for all the 6 visits, right? So that's why it's involved. And so basically what they did, they took the score equation. So let's compare these. You see, this one was the score equation in GLM, okay? And then they took these, and then they generalized it to the one you have on top. And the difference is that now, before this was one measurement, right? It was just one I and the variance. And now, the generalized estimating equation is the multivariate generalization of the score equation. Now, VI is a covariance matrix. Okay? So what they said is, if you have longitudinal data, forget about struggling to specify the multivariate generalization of the Bernoulli distribution. We just start by looking at the score equation, and then we take the score equation, and then we generalize it to, in a multivariate way. Be careful that equation does not correspond to any likelihood function, okay? By solving that equation on top, we are not maximizing any log likelihood. So they basically take these, they look at us, and say, okay, so now yi is going to be a vector. And instead of vi, I'm just going to make my working correlation structure, which could be uniform, autoregressive, whatever. And then I do generalized estimating equation. So the solution of that equation on top, it's not going to be a maximum likelihood estimate. Okay? So basically, they start from this, and from this equation, and they generalize it by substituting yi with the vector and the v con I with the matrix. That's it. So if you go, you can go from this direction to this direction. But then after you have generalized these in a multivariate way, you can go from this way to this way. So there is no likelihood function that corresponds to that multivariate generalization. So that is really the idea. Generalized estimating equation is basically solving this equation, okay? So what is this? Well, mu con I con beta is our link function, is a function of our covariate. And so we'll have a logic link, or we'll have the log link. And the V con I is a covariance matrix that we specify, which could be in uniform, which doesn't have really an interpretation, because remember, we are working with binary data, but doesn't matter, it's just a way of weighting our data. The covariance matrix of V0, you see, this score equation depends on beta and on alpha. Alpha just uses parameter alpha to identify the parameter of the covariance matrix, which could be just a simple correlation coefficient or, you know, any other parameters that are used within your V. And so, you see, the nice thing about it is that basically they provide, that by doing a general estimating equation, you find the consistent estimates of beta, even if the specification of the correlation structure is not exactly right. But you're still weighting the data somehow when you provide these estimates. So although it's not optimal, it will definitely going to give you more reliable estimates, especially the uncertainty that without doing anything. Of course, if you take VI as the density metric, actually no, if you take VI as a diagonal metric, we don't mean diagonal, simply the small variance of V con I, well, then you're doing the same thing of GLM. Sorry, the same thing of iterative weight of least square. So the method of generalized estimating equation provides consistent estimates for the mean parameter when a model for the correlation might not be reliably specified. So basically, my S of beta and alpha equals zero is simply, which is the generalized estimating equation, is the multivariate generalization of a score equation that we use to maximize the likelihood function in generalized linear models. I, you know, my goal is to give you the history of where generalized estimating equation is coming from. Okay? So if you have a logistic regression, you solve a score equation. If you have a logistic regression and you have longitudinal data, you solve a generalized estimating equation, which is a multivariate generalization of the score equation. Okay? So in terms of vocabulary, I use a terminology like generalized linear model, which includes Poisson regression, logistic regression. I use the sampling distribution, which is the Poisson distribution or the Bernoulli distribution. This is the terminology of latitude function, log latitude function, score equation, which is basically equal, you know, setting equal to zero the derivative of the log likelihood. And then I use a generalized estimating equation. Okay? So this is all the terminology. So any question about the history of generalized estimating equation up to now? Yes. This one?
Yes.
Okay, excellent question. Well, it will be a maximum likelihood for continuous data. Because for continuous data, this solving this equation is indeed maximizing the likelihood function. So that's why when you have used GEE all the first part of the course, we let you using GEE, right? Because when you have a continuous data, this multivariate generalization of the score equation corresponds to maximizing the log likelihood. Because for continuous data, we can identify the multivariate generalization of the log likelihood function, which is a multivariate normal distribution. Okay? So in fact, if you go back to the notes and see how we define maximum likelihood estimation for continuous data when we have a multivariate normal distribution, we solve exactly this equation. So that's an excellent point. For binary data, count data, solving the equation does not correspond to any likelihood function. So for binary data, count data, you're not getting a maximum likelihood estimate. The only way to getting a maximum likelihood estimate for binary account data when you have to specify a correlation is to go to the tedious specification of a sampling distribution for multivariate binary data, which is very tricky. Not only very tricky, but also you have to marry a correlation structure in a very specific way. Because remember, the variance of the mean are linked. So when you specify a sampling distribution for a multivariate binary vector, you are forced to specify specific correlation structures, which might not be adequate. When instead the GEE was a very practical solution because it says, forget about struggling now to find necessarily the maximum likelihood estimate. Let's find something which is a little suboptimal, but it's also more flexible because it allows you to do the estimation under different structure for the correlation. Okay, so you are basically not forced anymore to specify the sampling distribution which impose is a strong relationship between the mean and the variance. Okay. Yeah, so that's an excellent point. That's why please ask questions, because that's giving me the opportunity to clarify. So when you take longitudinal data, continuous data, you do GEE, you are doing maximum likelihood estimation. When you do XDGE for binary Poisson, you are not. So GLM for longitudinal data, it's really GEE. Okay? And so what we do when we have longitudinal binary account data, we specify a generalized linear model for the mean response. So this is the link function, which can be the logit link or the log link. It depends if the data is Poisson or if the data is binary. And then we specify a covariance. When you do XTGEE for logistic regression, you say for V sub con I is an independent or comparative structure. And then you will get an estimate of beta and the standard error that will be consistent. So they will not be optimal, but will be consistent in terms that they will go toward the true parameter when the sample size is large. And if the specification of Vicon I is correct, then the GE solution is the maximum likelihood estimate. And in practice, that's of course only when you have continuous data. Because if you have a binary data, you will never know what is the correct specification of Vicon I. And so I'm just going to say it again, the same thing. So one important property of the generalized linear family is that the score equation depends only on the mean and the variance. So basically, in order to specify to do GEE, the only thing you have to do is to specify the model for the mean and the model for the variance in the same way that you were doing for continuous data. Okay? It's nothing. There is nothing more. Of course, the estimate that you're getting from GEE, your beta hat, will be as much as closer as the MLE, as much as the Y con I has been reasonably approximated. Although the problem is, and that's where actually I think we should now open the discussion about the question that we had, the confusion that we had about using variogram and autocorrelation function to estimate Vicon Y con I. So I'm going to tackle that right now. So, but just to finish these three bullets, so you're going to have that the estimate that comes out from the GEE will be as close as possible to the MLE, as much as that we have specified Vicon I, V sub I, correctly. Okay? And GEE is the maximum likelihood score equation. So that was your question. GEE is the maximum likelihood score equation for multivariate Gaussian data. Okay? And also for binary data when the variance of Y sub I is correctly specified. The problem is, this is what the textbook said, but the question is how do you know when you have a binary data, if the covariance matrix is correctly specified? And the question, the answer is you will never know. Okay? So as far as is my experience, you really will never know when the estimates of beta, how close or far is from the MLA. And the thing you could do is to do the estimation under different correlation structure and basically see, you know, that you get consistent results. So I think this is a good time to talk about the confusion that we had about how can we do, can we use Hartle correlation function or the variograph to get a sense of how to specify our covariance metrics when the data are binary counts. Okay? So the story of the confusion was that Hiji in one of the labs told you you cannot use the autocorrelation function of the variogram to explore, you know, to look at, see whether, what type of covariance structure you can use. And then Serena came, and then what she did in another lab, she did, okay, she said, well, you have a binary longitudinal data, you see the logistic regression, you can calculate your residuals, right? And so from your residuals, no one stops you to calculate the variogram of your residuals. You can look at the variogram, and you can specify the covariance structure. And actually, you know, when she told me, you know, because then after we had a discussion, I asked her exactly what she did, and it sounds reasonable. I said, well, you know, sure, you can calculate your residuals. No, you can't do that. It's not going to be helpful. Because, you know, why? Because the residuals that you get out of a logistic regression are not informative about the covariance structure, because the residuals, remember, your residuals will depend on the variance and the mean. So whatever you get out of the variogram will be highly dependent on the mean structure. So the answer, to clarify, is that you cannot use the variogram or the autocorrelation function on the residuals of a logistic regression to get a sense of how to pick the covariance metrics when you do GEE. Okay? I mean, you can always calculate anything you want to, but I'm not sure, you know, anything you get out of this variogram will be informative. And the reason is because with linear models, the residuals have, you know, the residuals will all inform you with respect to the variance. In logistic regression, in Poisson regression, because the variance depends on the mean, the residuals will give you a mix of information on the mean and the variance. So it's not a reliable way. And that's why there's been a contribution, and we will post the paper on the website. You can read it, just the introduction. There was a paper, I think, in 1995 in the Journal of American Statistical Association, which was a PhD thesis of one of the students of Scott Ziegler. His name is Patrick Hergerty. And his PhD thesis was about developing the Lorellogram. Okay? The Lorellogram is defined in this way. The Lorellogram is the log of, remember the odds ratio, which was PIK equal 1, probability of high J equals 0, YIK equals 0, divided by P of YIJ equals 1, IIK equals 0, P of YIJ equals 1, YIK equals 0, and that was as a function of the lag. For example, you can take as gamma 0 plus gamma 1, you know, TJ minus TK, okay? So this is called Lorellogram. So the Lorellogram is the counterpart of the autocorrelation function for binary data. So the idea will be to plot, to estimate. Remember, this is the odds ratio as a measure of the correlation, or the within subject correlation, because that's expressed how many times you're going to have a concordant outcome with respect to how many times you're going to have a discordant outcome. Okay? And so you can estimate this quantity as a function of the lag, of the time difference. And by doing this type of estimation, you could get some information about the correlation structure, at least if it's exponential or if it's a uniform, right? Because you might have that the strength, that this odds ratio might be smaller as the time difference increase, right? So that it can inform you and say, well, maybe the structure should be, you know, an exponential type of structure, okay? So binary and Poisson longitudinal data, you cannot use their autocorrelation function of the residual to help you pick the correlation structure when you do GE, okay? The only way to do it, as far as we know, is to estimate this Lorellogram. Unfortunately, there is no SCADA software allowed to do that. So I really hope to get it by next year. But I'll post the paper on the website, and you know, you don't need to go through all the details, but only reading actually the introduction, it's very nicely laid out what are the challenges of estimating an autocorrelation function in the Lorellogram when you have a binary data, okay? So unfortunately, Serena's idea looks really neat to me as well. I said, oh, that's great, but no. And you know, how I actually told him more about it, I said, well, then why there was a PhD thesis on the Lorellogram? So I picked the paper and that's what was the proof, okay? So, but I think we should applaud Serena for initiative and creativity. Okay, so is that clear enough? So the bottom line is the logistic regression, GE, as of today, you don't have any exploratory tool to know which one you should use. So find, you know, try a few of them and see the consistency of the results across. One thing you can do, and then we will see with examples today, that you can always estimate the marginal odds ratio. You can always estimate this guy. You can do that actually literally by hand. Just count how many times you have the same response compared to the other. And if that it's 50, it means that you have 50 times more chance of having the same response twice than a different response. So definitely tell you that specifying a VI is very important. If that is should be uniform or exponential, we don't know. But you know, try a few of them, and at least you will get a more robust estimate than if you don't do anything at all. Okay. Yes.
As long as we have computational power, why should we just use unstructured?
You can as much as you as much as the sequence is not too long. You can always, if you have a short sequence, so yeah, that's an excellent point. If you have 5 visits and 500 guys, you know, 500 individuals, go with a structure, no doubt. But if you have 10 subjects and each one has been measured 60 times, don't do a structure because you don't have enough power to estimate all the elements of the covariance structure. So short sequences, many individuals, go for it. Long sequences, a few individuals, don't do it. Okay. Yeah, no, excellent point. Okay, so I am actually done with the G, okay, which is great, because then we'll do the second part by doing the two-data analysis. So to use a GE, we specify the model for the mean. We put all the covariates we need to include, treatment, interaction, time, anything we need to include. The link will be logit for binary, log for Poisson. And we need to specify the model for the covariance structure. The variance, okay, always keep in mind that when you specify the covariance structure, our B sub I, always keep in mind that the diagonal elements are already specified by the mean. Okay? So when you have, if you take about any off diagonal element of our D sub I, which is a covariance, remember? So the covariance is defined as the product of the two variance times the correlation. Well, but the variances will be fully defined. It depends if you take whatever sample distribution you use. Okay? So when you do GEE, you say V sub I is exponential, you specify the correlation, but the variance are already specified by the mean. Okay? And so these variances are already specified here, and the decorrelation is what you will choose, can be exchangeable, you know, AR1 or unstructured. Okay. So it's actually intuitively it's pretty simple in terms of that, you know, the only degrees of freedom that you have is that if this correlation is going to be constant as a function of the lag, or it's going to be smaller when the lag difference increases, or if we're not going to make any decision one way and another, it's going to be an unstructured. Okay. So all of these is within fitting population average and marginal models for longitudinal data. I'm not talking about any random effect or transition model. So if your scientific goal is that you have a longitudinal binary data or longitudinal Poisson data, and what your interest is the treatment effect on average for your population, so the population average odds ratio, then that will be, you know, this is the state of the art of analyzing the data. So if your focus is the regression coefficient beta, which is your population average regression coefficient, you focus in modeling the mean structure. You specify whatever covariates you want to include. You have to use a reasonable approximation of the covariance metrics. And then basically you check the inference for the different beta by comparing the robust standard error of the beta under different way, under different, you know, the definition and specification of the covariance. Now, if you see, I know this is very vague. I mean, you know, what happens if the different beta, the standard error of different beta change completely? Stuff. I mean, basically you have to do more work. I don't really know. It really depends on the situation. But it's tough. It could be that you basically have to do more exploratory data analysis, or you have to contact a biostatistician. That's why we are still in business. So, you know, I think generally that would happen where you have highly irregular space data, and so that, you know, very strange things can happen. Unfortunately, when we do real-life data analysis, things don't always go as much as we want. So is it possible that you could specify a uniform correlation structure and you get a standard error, and then you specify in a structure, you get something totally different? Although, really a situation where that could happen is that all the model for the mean is far over-parameterized. Also, be careful not to include too many covariates, because if you have a very disparate result here, it might be an indication that you are estimating too many parameters that you can afford. And so basically, you know, always remember that for estimating standard error, you need more power. And so it might be that you are lack of power, and so you don't have enough information to estimate all the parameters of the covariance. So a case could happen like that could happen if you have very long sequence, and you estimate an unstructured covariance metric. So you're not going to have the power of estimating all the difference. So just assume that the sequence will be, you know, you have a 50 visits. So when you do XPGE, you say unstructured, you are estimating all the off-diagonal elements of a 50 times 50 covariance metric. If you have a 6 subjects, you know, sure, they'll give you numbers, but, you know. So then, when you compare to a uniform correlation structure, you might find results completely different. So it could be a lack of power situation, but, you know, might not be. So what I'm going to do now, maybe we should take a 15 minutes break. We'll start at 10:30. And then, at the second part of the class, I'll give you 2 data analyses of a marginal logistic regression with GE, where we're going to specify the model for the mean and, you know, and see, you know, the parameter interpretation and so on. Okay?